Shit's different over here, bro. I know it's all cute over there in BMF land, but we making real bread over here. Yeah, y'all, and play the episode.
Last one to the airport buys breakfast. Buying breakfast. Day one.
All right, Mike, so I'll let you introduce our little guest of the day.
Listen, man, look, you know, 50 boys, man, they over there bugging, man. But listen, man, we got a good guest in this bitch today, man. We got our boy Da Vinci in the building.
I didn't think he'd ever pull up.
This is a rare sight. This is a rare sight, bro. Yeah. This is tough.
He's got like six security guards out here. I'm like, bro, come on.
Yeah, he's like, nah, I'm not fucking with y'all. I got to see what y'all on. He said, set up.
Like, nah. I thought about it, though. I told Meech, I was like, Meech, I'm about to do their podcast. He was like, don't do that whack ass shit.
Knowing he want to be on this shit so bad. Like, Meech, it's all right, bro. You could pull up, you know what I'm saying? Promote whatever you got going on. Promote your little weed brands and shit. You know what I'm saying? We could help you out over here, bro. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
that's all love, man.
The whole time, was you ever anything to plug at the end? He's like, yeah. So I got my Color Purple brand. I got my bubblegum rap brand. I got all this stuff. Is that all Shut he up. Does is just sell weed on Instagram?
Honestly, I don't even know. I know just as much as y'all. Honestly, I know just as much as y'all.
Nah, not too much on the boy. We do want to have him come on. That'd be fun.
We
would love that. Dude, it'd be so fun, us four, too.
That'd be fine.
100%. That'd be fine. Back and forth.
Yeah. So what's good, bro? What's been up? So you guys are shooting the next season right now.
Yep.
You're in Atlanta.
Yep.
How's it been?
It's been good, man. It's a blessing to be doing a season three when a writer strike is happening.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, so they wrote all the episodes before, you know, the whole industry.
So you got all 10 in the can right now?
Yeah, so thank God for that. You know what I'm saying? So that's been going good. That's been going smooth. We got a lot of, like, different big stars on it. And now, like, you know, the BMF boys are expanding. They starting to get real money because they start moving out to Atlanta.
Yeah, they start traveling.
Yeah, and that's when, like, Meech start becoming big Meech and shit like that. So that's been cool to just see that play out.
Yeah, that's fire. Yeah, that definitely where... you know, when you're in a different environment and stuff starts really taking off, that's when the show starts getting fun.
Right. Because
you got to lay the story down first.
Right.
You got to lay the characters. You got to put the world out there, and then you can expand with what you have. So yeah, dude, that's fucking awesome though.
Yeah. You guys are filming too right now, right?
Yeah, we're filming right now.
What episode y'all on?
We on seven or six?
Six into seven.
Mm-hmm. We're on six.
Yeah. We almost done with six.
Yeah.
Was over six. Damn, so everybody moving.
Yeah, everyone's
moving. Yeah, we're on six right now. That's crazy. Yeah.
Kaden about to get back into filming.
Yep.
The whole
show. The writer's strike?
Yeah,
they about to sign like a
month. Oh, so they just finished writing everything.
I believe so. I don't know.
Kanan finished a couple months ago, and then they're just going
they took 2 months off. They didn't even take a whole hiatus.
Which is fine.
But the writer's strike is like next month.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So
like, they already have been writing.
Oh, yeah, they have to have everything down.
Because if
the DGA find that out, those writers are kicked out of the union.
That's crazy.
No, but you could write before. They have scripts written.
Right. Writing before is one thing, but like if they catch them, like they sneaking some shit out.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a wrap.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was making jokes because they're like, so basically, for everyone who doesn't know, like, there might.
Yeah, we gotta let them know what the strike is about. Because everybody's like, what the fuck are these niggas talking about?
Right.
It's mostly for like residuals, because there used to be residuals for television, and then now it's streaming. It's not as much money, so the writers, that's kind of where their bread and butter came from. Mm. So they're striking right now, which means no writers can write any TV episodes if this happens. So if you have scripts already written, you can shoot that. But then now there's a thing where the DGA might strike too, which are the directors, and then the whole town shuts down. So then they don't film anything.
Fuck it, that's going out on strike.
That's why I've been going on the road and doing comedy shows.
Yeah, man, bro. This is why you got to keep that ball rolling, bro, because you never know what's going
to
happen.
Shit, I'm about to join your podcast. I'm about to start holding the camera and shit behind the scenes. Nigga, what the fuck? Nah, I'm not going out like that. I work too hard to be here. I'm not going out like that.
I was making jokes. So I was like, there's a director strike. Let me and Mike direct the episode. We're like, okay, why is every scene in a strip club like, trust me. It's going to work. It's going to work.
Strip club, like, money, cars, we good. We got this undercover.
Right. Yeah. So I want to hear your origin story. Like, obviously, we've spoken and we've seen each other out like that, but like, I truly don't know how you got into this, how this came to be. I know you were on All American before BMF. So like, I want to hear the Da Vinci story. Like, how did it start?
The origin story. I feel like this is like how I became an X-Men. No, you know, before I start this though, y'all need to put up a BMF poster right here.
Where?
Right here.
That's not going anywhere. Right.
Alright, no, how about this? How about this? Look, off camera, we're gonna have a bet.
We put
if I beat you on a bet, or we could bet on the playoffs games. We could bet on the Knicks.
Okay.
Tomorrow night.
All right.
And if my bet goes well, you gotta have BMF on this shit for the next 5 episodes. No, right. Actually, I want BMF. I want this ugly ass poster. I want this ugly ass poster.
I want it right here.
Oh, man. All
right, I'll make a deal.
We shake on it.
Before the episode ends, we got to figure out what it's going to be. But for the season finale ghost recap, because we've been recapping for 10 weeks,
right.
We'll take that poster down. If you win this thing, and we'll put a BMF on there for the season finale recap.
Perfect.
If you win. Perfect. But you're not going to win.
But it's going to have to stay up there for a minute.
Yeah, it'll stay up there for the... What is it, Dave?
What do you guys win?
Yeah, what's
yeah, oh, yeah.
What's the incentive here?
Thank you.
What's the incentive?
Yo,
What do we win? Thank you.
Yo, Dave, let me get a call.
Fuck. I had this motherfucker. He was like, yeah.
He was slick. Fuck. I ain't going to lie. That's why Dave is the man.
Damn.
Yeah, yo,
you know
Dave,
what? Okay.
This last week, we would have been fucked because Dave wasn't here last week.
Yeah.
Damn, David, get the fuck out of here.
You guys don't really have anything. We have everything. What do we get? Your rinky-dink show over there? Sure, fine.
All right, fine. Yeah. Fuck it, yeah.
We'll think of something.
We got a bet.
We'll think of something after this.
Yeah.
We'll brainstorm or whatever. All right, we're going to take a break. We got to talk about our friends at BetterHelp, man. This is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially because we are always growing and changing.
Therapy is all about deepening your self-awareness and understanding.
Because sometimes we don't understand what we want and why we react the way we do till we understand things.
BetterHelp connects you with licensed therapists that can take you on that journey to finding yourself.
It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries with people. And trust me, as actors, sometimes you need to set boundaries.
Boundaries is important, man. I'm telling you, not even just as an actor, as a person, as a human. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. I mean, come on. Who doesn't want to be the best version of themselves?
And BetterHelp isn't just for those who've experienced major traumas or, you know, bad situations in life. BetterHelp is for everyone.
If you're thinking about starting therapy, I say you give BetterHelp a try.
BetterHelp is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited for your schedule.
All you got to do is fill out a quick questionnaire to get matched with a therapist, and you can switch therapists from any time you want. So it's up to you.
At no additional charge.
Discover your potential with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/crew today to get 10% off your first month.
Don't forget that code, crew. 10% off too. Come on, go get that. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/crew, CREW. Go get that.
Back to the episode with a better mental state. But yeah, where did it all start?
So boom, the way this all started, I was born in Brooklyn, then moved to Jersey, back and forth between Jersey and Brooklyn. Then I got in trouble. I got arrested when I was 13. I got sent to my father in Florida. Then I did high school and a little bit of college in Florida. And then I was like, yo, fuck this. I'm about to move back up north and start pursuing my dreams. And I just realized that proverbial route wasn't for me. I was like, no offense to anyone working, you know, 9 to 5 and hustling, you know, but it's like, for me, I was just like, I can't do this shit. And I realized Social Security is running out for the millennials. So it's like, we're going to have to work till we're 95. So I was like, if I don't pursue my dream, like, I'd rather just die trying. Like, no, not to sound cliche like 50, but get rich or die trying, literally. So I was like, fuck this, I'm going to start going. And I used to do music. I started playing instruments at an early age. I write music. So I started rapping. My godmother had a good relationship with Jay-Z's mom, Gloria Carter. So she was like, yo, you should come to her shop and perform. And I was like, okay, I performed there. I got discovered. It's crazy. I have not met Jay-Z or Beyonce yet, but they both know exactly who I am. Like, that's one fine. Time I was leaving the shop, the restaurant, and they was coming right in. I was mad as fuck.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck. That's but fine. We're probably the same person. That's why you never saw us in the same room. I like to think I got Jay's work ethic. So I got discovered from there. And then the manager at the time was like, yo, you should get into acting as well. I'm like, yeah, I love acting. Like, I think that's dope. And then I started doing that. I started training with Mark John Jeffries. Mm. I hear the boy was losing Isaiah. He played in the season.
I was actually in a movie with him too. I was in. He was in Love in movie Love.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah. Damn, your ass got a resume.
Mike's been doing this for a long time. Yeah, you guys just started, but it's fine.
Shit, I guess so. You're right, but shit. In this race, nigga, I'm catching up. I'm catching up for a fact. But
rolling our lanes, man.
But yeah, so I started doing some acting on the side, and then the music business, it just started getting annoying and frustrated. I was so frustrated by it, and I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I think I might just go straight to the acting. One of my friends, Little Mama, shout out to Little Mama, lip gloss, popular lip gloss.
Oh, yeah,
school.
Shout out to Little Mama. That's the sister. That's
my sister, right? Yeah. And she was just like, yo, come to LA, meet my manager. I was like, yo, your manager's not going to want to sign me, but I'm 20 going on 21. Like, I'm too old. Everyone start out in this business like 10. Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? And then she was like, yo, shut the fuck up. What are you talking about? And this is a couple years ago. And I just, boom, I flew out there. She was like, yo, kid, I like you. She was like, let me hear some of your music, whatever. Sent it to her, showed her, performed something, and she just signed me, boom. After that, CESD signed with me only the New York division and not the LA division. The LA division was like, nah, he don't got a name. Like, LA got so many names. Like, who the fuck is this kid? So I was like, take his ass back to New York and see if he works. 2 weeks later, I booked Marvel Jessica Jones. And I was just like, okay. And I called them. I was like, yo, can I go back to LA now? And they was like, nah, fuck that.
That was the first thing you ever booked?
That was the first thing
I ever booked. What was it, one episode? Or?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and I remember I was in the transport van with Kristen Ritter, who's the lead on there. And she was just like, yo, I don't know. It's something about you, kid. I feel like you're gonna do really well in this business. I was like, oh, thank you. I appreciate that, white lady. Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't know shit. And then 2 weeks after that, I screen tested for this show with Kiki Palmer. That was going to be on MTV. And it was like for 16,000 episode, and I, you know, you count the money, you do the math and the calculus. I was like, I'm lit. Shit. They flew me first class. I was staying at the W. It's crazy at the time. I only had $300 in my deposit, in my checking account. And you know how they have to do that deposit hold shit. I was mad as hell, so they had everything. So I had to call my boy, ask
for
money
for the hotel, right?
Right, and I ain't even get the role, and I was pissed off. I said, "Fuck acting, I'm done." And my team's like, "Yo,
after you just tested for something?"
See, I didn't know.
You didn't know how it worked, right?
So to me, like, everyone's saying, "Like, bro, you don't understand that." Okay, I'm like, honestly, I don't give a fuck about your story, and I hate that comparative suffering and being like, "Well, someone here just don't got it." It's like I can't relate, bro. I don't know this shit. Yeah. I just know that I'm poor and this shit hurt, right? Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I'm trying to get this out.
Fuck it. I'm quick. I'm going back into music. And then right after that, I flew to LA and I lied to the team saying I was just coming back. And on my flight there, I had an audition for Grownish. I was supposed to self-tape. And I was like, well, since you're there, go in the room, see what happens. And it was a one episode thing. I ended up getting a call back and me and Kenyon Barris, and I got the role. And when I got that role, funny thing about that, they was about to fire me and recast me. They was like, oh, he's too, like, they was like, I don't know if he's like nervous because of Yara or what it is, but we think he's too green. And I was green as fuck. But the thing is, what I was like, what the fuck? It was like Hollywood is so like preppy. You got all these like groups. Like, I'm in LA, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like a stray dog with like pampered poodles and fucking chihuahuas and Pomeranians. So I'm just like, bro, this shit is just mad uncomfortable.
There's
cameras
lot going
here,
on.
Here,
There's
here,
a lot going on.
There. And then Kenya Barron was like, nah, this is the kid. This is the kid. So he kept me in. Shout out to Chris Spencer because he helped me out too.
Oh, I like him. He's
Chris
good.
Spencer, that's
I've been
seeing
him doing stand up forever.
Yeah. And he took me under his wing with stand up too. And he's been training me and shit. So he was just like, yo, bro, like, look. He was telling me in so many words that they're about to fire your ass. And I was just like, oh, fuck. Mm-hmm. So he talked to me. Next day I came into work. I killed it. Then I ended up, they ended up putting me throughout the entire season. And that ended up was what made my mark in Hollywood. And there was like, I ended up being the only character that was trending on Twitter worldwide. Nice. But it was about to recast my ass.
Fire.
Like, it was crazy. And that right there, then everything just started falling. They was like, oh, who's this kid? Who's this kid? And then like All-American, I went out for Spencer James. And they was just like, well, he doesn't look hood enough, which was just like, it's crazy because that's where I'm from. Like, but you know, Hollywood be like,
they have a different type of
like, I know niggas from the hood that don't look crazy as fuck, and then their eyes ain't missing. No offense to Terry, but you know what I'm saying? It's like some niggas still look good, and they just like they was dodging bullets and punches,
right?
You know what I'm saying? But so it didn't happen, but then they called me for Darnell, and then that ended up being a big character, and it's crazy because the timing of that. That character got huge and the pandemic happened. So everyone was sitting their ass at home watching TV.
It. Yeah,
so we all became like stars.
Yes,
all American
that shit
was
big. Boston awesome doing what? That shit was
that shit
crazy.
Was
that's
crazy.
All I was hearing about.
Right.
All American. That shit was
so,
crazy.
That's how I for the people back home, you were auditioning. You obviously had a little bit of training, not much. what was your process when you went into the room, and what was your process when you got to set? Like, I'm
curious. Because you were like raw. Like,
yeah, I was just myself.
Yeah.
And that's the best way to be, right? Because like I think everybody try to play this character. They try to do what people want them to hear. And me, I'm just like, bro. At the end of the day, I know there's only one Da Vinci.
Right.
There's only one Da Vinci. I'm gonna be myself. So I was in a room. I was myself. I didn't even know who Kenya Barris was. You know what I'm saying? And it was just like, I'm talking to him like he's a regular person. And I'm just like, wait, y'all want me to read this? But I'm like, that shit sound crazy. And the writer's right there. They're like, that's the writer. I was like, the writer for what? I'm like, oh. So they're dying laughing. Like, I was so raw and like, I didn't know this shit. But they like that shit.
Right, because most actors will come in and be like, oh, I'll do, do you want me to, I can do it. Like, yeah, I can I can slip my wrist in front of you right now if you'll give me the role.
Facts, they'll do anything. Like, and they'd be lying like, do you, can you drive a tractor? Yeah. Can you do this? Yeah. Yeah, me, I'm going to be honest. Like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, but I can learn.
I can learn. Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that honesty right there, which just was like, yo, this kid is like, he's real as fuck. And I've trained for 2 years for real, but you could train all you want. Just like you could train in a, for fighting all you want, but when you get in a real fight, that shit is different, my nigga.
It's different,
like,
yeah. You gotta apply yourself differently.
Them cameras in front of your face, and you got a mark, you can't move here, you can't do, like, you know what I'm saying? That shit is just like, and then they cheating shots,
emotions,
you reading a fucking line like this in the corner, like, that shit is different, but I was just myself, and I was never really like scared, because I didn't really know who anyone was.
Right.
So that's kind of like, that was the gift.
So when you were acting, were you in your head at all, like on set, or like were you like, okay, my line's coming, or were you just fully completely in the scene to start?
When I started, yeah, like I think in Grown-ish, when I was doing Grown-ish, I was like, yo, like I'm about to know everybody's lines in this motherfucking scene. Like, I'm gonna make sure I know what's going on. And I was in my head a little bit, but after like I saw how the world responded to me, I was like, oh, they fuck with me. Like, let me get out of my head so now I can play. Cause when you're in your head about something,
You're scared to try certain things.
You can't really play.
Yeah, you can't play.
You can't really play. But I got out of my head, and then I was just able to just like change shit. And I'm improvising here, and the writer's like, oh, we like this. Like, keep that. And then, you know, and now it's just like, now I'll be on any set, and I'll just be chilling.
Do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, and like, I know the material now, and I know how to move, and I know what look good on camera. I know what looks and shit like that. So now I'm like, I'm straight.
So what happened after Grown-ish? Did All American come right after that?
No, I went on a 6-month dry spell.
Yeah,
no word.
It gets like that.
And I realized, and then like they was paying me as a local, and I just started, so it was no real money. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, but I knew because I was a promoter in New York. So 1920, I was a promoter. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, I know how to hustle, and I know how to make little side deals and whatever. So I was like, yo, if this shit don't work out, nigga, I've been eating without a regular job. Like, I know what I'm gonna do. So I went back there in LA. I knew the people. So boom, main phone calls, And then a McDonald's commercial came in. My first ever commercial, I booked it.
That's hard.
McDonald's is tough. And I was like, what? McDonald's and then, like, was barely in that motherfucker. Like, you only saw like half my face, but I made like $40,000 in 3 months. And I was just this is crazy.
That commercial money is different.
And then,
it used to be way better.
Yeah,
you used to get like, I know some dudes that did one or two commercials, got a couple mil from it for
TV
a couple years.
Because
TV
is not the same no more, so they don't pay as much.
Damn, that's crazy.
I used to do a lot of voiceover stuff. That's how I was eating. But like, even that is not what it used to be anymore. Like, because it used to be less, there used to be less channels, less this, less ads. So there was like 15 commercials on at once. If you book one of those, you're making a couple mil. If it's playing for
a
year.
Yeah. That's fucking dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, that commercial money different.
Yeah, you look like you work at McDonald's. Anyways, Let's take a quick break from the episode. Do you have a small business? Do you sell merch? Do you do anything in the e-commerce space?
ShipStation got you covered.
ShipStation gives you up to 84% off of UPS and USPS rates.
84%, man, that's damn near free.
Insane.
That's damn near free. And if it's free, it's for me. Now listen, I know y'all heard us talk about this simple-to-use dashboard. You can manage every single order from it. It's simple to use.
When you lower your shipping costs and make returns easy,
you make your customers happier, and you keep money in your pocket.
And if you've been on the fence, right now is the perfect time to use ShipStation. There's a free trial going on. The boys are giving you a free trial.
Free trial for 60 days. 6-0. That's a long time.
It's 2 months.
It's 2 months of saving money. Listen, using ShipStation, we saving so much money, bro. We don't got to come out of our pockets for the shipping stuff. ShipStation got us covered.
Every single merch package you guys get, we use through our partners at ShipStation. It just makes it so much easier. We're on set filming. We're doing the podcast. We don't have time to worry about each individual order, okay? ShipStation dashboard got you covered. Over 130,000 companies have grown their e-commerce business with ShipStation.
130,000. 130,000. And listen, 98% of these companies that use ShipStation for a year, they end up being customers for life.
For
lifetime customers. ShipStation easily integrates with anywhere that you shop. That's eBay, Etsy, what is it, Amazon?
Yep.
Literally everything. Whatever you use in the shop, I'm sure ShipStation can integrate and make your experience easier. See, now this dashboard, I know we talk about the dashboard a lot, but it's very useful. You can automate shipping tasks.
You can print shipping labels.
Easily comparable rates.
And delivery times to optimize every single shipment.
With the enterprise solutions, that makes warehouse optimizations super, super duper easy.
ShipStation scales when you do.
Yeah. When ShipStation grows, you grow. When you grow, ShipStation grows.
One hand washes the other, baby.
We all growing together. Worry less about the bottom line when you can save money with ShipStation.
Go to ShipStation.com and use the promo code THECREW
for your free 60-day trial. That's 60 days free. You don't got to come out your pocket for 60 days, 2 months. Come on, y'all better go get that. Use the code THECREW.
That is ShipStation.com, code THECREW.
Now back to the episode, baby.
So no, but that's dope. So you started, you're paying the bills with a little bit of commercial stuff, and then
And then I booked Lethal Weapon.
Fire.
With Damon Wayans. Then I booked The Boys. And The Boys, it's funny because in The Boys, I went out for A-Train, mm-hmm. and the producers really liked me, but it was like, oh, he's so green. I kept hearing this fucking green word the last
it's
3 years.
It's like, look at all my credits.
I'm like, just like, yeah, right.
What the fuck is that even?
But green is like a banana. Refresh, you know when like you're not ripe yet. You're not ready. So it's very disrespectful. They're trying to sun the shit out of me.
That's weird,
and I was like, but how the fuck am I ever supposed to get ungreen if y'all keep thinking I'm green?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Bro, that's the thing about Hollywood.
They're dumb.
You're going to get a chance. Take a shot.
Right. You can't get a good agent until you get credits, but you can't get submitted for shit until
without
you...
a good agent.
Yeah, yeah. It's
mad, weird, bro.
It's a setup. Yeah. It's for sure a setup. That's why you got to have a hustle. And I think for anyone that's trying to be an actor or I'm not going to say trying. You're pursuing acting. You're pursuing anything in the arts. You have a side hustle. Like, right. And have something a different way to make money because this shit can get brutal. But yes, and I booked that. Then I booked a movie with Ben Affleck, The Way Back.
Oh, fire. Nice.
And I was like, and then the pandemic started closing down and shutting, and that shit started shutting things.
I was working with him. I love him.
It was dope. He's cool as hell.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck is a cool, big-ass dude. And I was like, he's 6'4", and I'm 6'3", so I was just like, damn, people used to tell me, like, oh, I lost roles literally because of my height.
Because you're too tall?
Yeah, like, it was this movie that I went out with me and Ryan Destiny. We was doing a Kembri together. And then Universal was just like, they was like, we love him. It's just when we put them side by side, she's at his hip. Right. You know what I'm saying? So they would have to have an Apple box and all that shit. Right. And then half the time when I was filming Grownish, me and Yara seen she had to be on an Apple box.
Yeah.
Damn.
So it was like, so all I used to be nigga. Like, but he made me like look at my height in a whole nother way. He was like, nah, you good. You'll be Batman one day.
Right.
So I was like, fuck it. I'll do that, you know?
That's fine.
Damn, but, that's dope.
And then All American came.
Right. And was that kind of where you felt like you popped?
For sure, like, All American was, it was for sure like it made me like famous.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, people still know me from All American way more than they do like any other project. Mm. Like, what? it's way bigger than BMF.
That other show.
And it's way bigger than Powerful, Power too. what is it called? Powderpuff Girls? All American was shit on that.
We're gonna do this the whole episode.
All American is shitting on Power. I'll tell you that.
All right. Actually, here's the thing about Netflix.
Now?
The thing about Netflix
The one with
is,
Amari Hardwick.
Yeah.
That's when y'all was putting up Game of Thrones numbers, but you wasn't even around.
Well, I was on
chilling
season 5 and 6.
But, I was chilling. I was like, what's up, man?
But I don't know if you
I was hitting licks with Kanan.
Yeah, he's been here, but like...
Nah, yeah, I know this motherfucker.
I don't know if you saw on Deadline what they released maybe about 4 or 5 weeks ago. Well,
was it about Power?
Yeah,
For sure.
No, it was about book two, Ghost.
I don't pay attention.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
We broke all the records on
really?
Stars. Yeah. We actually tripled your guys' ratings. That's a
tripled?
True story. Tripled.
That's crazy.
By 3.
I think we helped you guys because we talk shit about y'all so much.
I think we helped you guys.
You guys talk shit, so you get brought into the conversation. And listen, I get it. You guys are smart. You're trying to
genius.
Be in the conversation with
logical
we get it.
Fucking thinking. You
we
know
get
saying?
It.
You gotta be methodical in this right. business. You know what I'm saying? You know the boys.
All American
know?
Is for sure bigger than Power.
But here's the thing.
The thing about Netflix is
second most viewed show on TV that week. Yeah. Second most viewed show on television. Period that week.
On television. Yeah, we're a streaming service though.
Yeah, but
on Netflix.
On television.
But you know how many like viewers?
Netflix is different.
Well, that's what I will say. Netflix is
number one on
Netflix.
You know what I'm saying?
It's all over the world.
Y'all don't y'all want to see us on Netflix.
Yeah.
Honestly, I said that. I really wish our shows was on Netflix.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
We would be 10 times bigger.
I think about it all the time. Insane,
we would be 10 times bigger.
On Netflix,
we would be like the 13 Reason Why kids.
We would be crazy, bro.
Yeah, like, yeah.
True. They don't want to see the boys on Netflix,
for
man.
For a fact, yeah. They just don't. There's too many niggas.
So, yeah.
We don't need no more, though.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm happy with my fame right now. I don't want it to get too out of control yet, okay?
I know you be wilding out. You like a freaky motherfucker. I know he got the face. Listen, I know you be wilding out.
I'm not going to say I put a foot in my mouth, but you know I'm there, okay? No, let's get back on track a bit. So when did BMF happen? Like, I want to hear the audition process, like meeting Meech and all that, like the story. I want to hear like how that all happened.
So that happened during a pandemic. I was I was doing this other show. I was a lead on this other show on HBO Max, but it didn't get picked up because of the pandemic.
And that fucking pandemic.
And then I had another offer with this white show, which I'm not gonna say. and then
wait, I
had
Riverdale.
So then I had BMF, and in my head I was just like, I really wanted to go the other direction, because no offense, it's just I understand the marketing dollars over there would just be 10 times bigger than, you know, this. But also at the same time, I was like, damn, like to get to play a real character is a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Yeah, to portray someone that's a real
person.
Even though
you know. Power ratings is a little further because of Amari Hardwick. I knew. Shout out to Amari.
Now,
shout out to Amari. Amari is a fucking truth. Nah, that motherfucker.
Shout out to him.
Yeah, he really put y'all on the map.
No, he paved the way.
But
I wanted to be a part of a project
I put that project on the map. Because look, viewers, if y'all don't know, Power didn't get big until like season 3, 4.
But let me tell you something.
That's when Amari became that nigga. We're still on season 2 in BMF, and I'm the pioneer. Me and Meech the pioneer for that. Like, still they had niggas. A little, you know what? I'm not going to.
They still not them niggas. But let me tell you something. It's a lot harder to keep something that been put on the map, than to put something new on the map. I'm telling you that.
And make it grow.
Yeah, but y'all like the Lakers.
Nah, we not
the Lakers. Always had like a. You're like the Celtics.
Nah, we not.
You know what
like
I'm saying,
Celtics.
But we're like the fucking Pelicans.
Nah, we the All Star team.
That's like
nigga.
We're
we
the rising.
You guys are the WNBA, bro. Get back up, dog. You guys
crazy.
Have. You
niggas
have
is
people
D2.
Watching.
Y'all niggas is
people...
D2. Y'all not even in the NBA. Y'all
crazy.
D2 college basketball.
D2 is Tubi, my nigga. What?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
What? If we D2, what the fuck? Yeah.
Nigga, we NBA finals.
No, what?
And we the All Star team.
No,
like,
no,
you know
no,
what I'm
no.
Saying?
But
like,
yeah, see what I'm trying
we
to
the
say.
Avengers,
y'all,
nigga.
Y'all carried a wave from what Magic Johnson and them other motherfuckers did.
And that's
hard. We said, like, we like the fucking Grizzlies.
Easy.
We like Ja Morant.
Y'all niggas getting burnt right now by the Lakers. Like.
Yeah, you are like Ja Morant.
But you see what I'm saying? But
Meech
y'all motherfuckers.
Mad rich and he still walks around with a gun everywhere. It's like, you're fine, bro. You're fine, bro.
Oh, my God. Oh,
it's
my
like, you're rich,
God.
Bro.
Let me stop. Let me stop.
You know what? Yo, I'm going to bring Meech. Meech is going to fuck y'all up. Meech.
We be torching that nigga.
I know how to fight. He don't want that. Yeah. I know how to fight. He don't want that.
But listen, man.
Nah, he's shooting. One thing. No, I'm playing. Let me stop.
One thing I forgot
to
announce.
You don't fight no more.
You know, since it's, you know, bring your kid to work there at Malco office, you know, we had to have the boy on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I forgot to announce that. But
did you see all the kids running around the office? It's actually bring your kid to work day today. So it's actually fitting that you're here.
But y'all my sons, though. That's crazy. Like, when I was walking around with y'all, niggas said y'all was my kids.
Oh, man.
So that's crazy.
Yeah. We're not going to get anywhere. Because we're just gonna do this every 5 minutes.
anyway, the way BMF happened during the pandemic, yeah. So I had those two decisions, and I was just like, you know what, I'm gonna go that way because I knew how influential Big Meech was.
Right. Oh yeah,
in the hood, in the streets, and everybody
different
mentioned him from Drake to fucking Young Jock, Jeezy, everybody, Roddy Ricch. You know what I'm saying, Rick Ross, everybody. So I was just like, what? Like, I got a chance to be in this story, like. I'm definitely gonna take it. So it was just one audition. Then I did a chem read with Meech, and shout out to Meech because Meech had to work real hard for it.
He still got to work real hard.
Yeah, he still got to work real hard, but he had to work real hard because he had to like really prove that he could do it because the network was like, nah, we ain't fucking with it. And he's just really like put in the work. He was training for 2 years, and then he let them, you know, respect him, you know. But it was for sure tough.
Did they show you a picture of who you were gonna play? And you're like, how am I gonna, or
I saw and I was just like, I was ecstatic by it because I was just like, okay, so I'm not gonna be the sexy character. So I don't gotta do sex scenes. I don't gotta do it because I'm not one that like doing that shit. I don't like any of that, right? That's probably the worst part. Because me, like, I want a family.
I like it.
You know what I'm saying? I've realized you did.
I like it.
Yeah, I can tell. You look like you live for those moments. We don't need an intimacy coordinator. You just run that.
I can coordinate this.
I feel sorry for the girls in your scene, boy. I feel sorry for them. But anyway, so I was just like, okay, this is cool. But then when they hired me, they were just like, oh nah, like we gotta throw these. And I was like, yo, bro, like I'm not about to like show my like I'm not gonna do that either, bro. And respectfully, right. I would pass on a role. But this is why I hustle. I do shows. I got different business ventures. I'm in real estate. I'm doing a whole bunch of different things. They try to make me show my booty hole, I'm like, nah, I'm cool. I don't gotta do it. Right. And then I could stand firm on another seven figures that's outside of this.
Right.
Otherwise, they're gonna try to play you when you're put in a position mm-hmm. that you're kind of desperate. But they kind of flipped it, and it was just like, okay, well, you don't have to do X, Y, Z, but we still want X, Y. And I was like, all right, so. A lot of sex scenes, we had to really rehearse. And it was just like, yo, Da Vinci, we thought the girls would be like this. Like, it's you being the problem. And I said, nigga?
So what?
I don't fuck. And then 50 called me. He was like, yo, Vinci. He said, why you fucking my show up, man? He's like, and I was just like, I'm really not. You know, I didn't sign on thinking that. And then he started telling me stories about when he had to show his dick on camera. I said, Fifth, that's cool. Like, you got shot 9 times, brother. You're in a different category.
Yeah, but it's
like,
whatever.
For me, it's like, nah. And he's like, yo, is it the girls? I'm like, no, Lyle's great. Sydney is great. Right. It could have been Beyonce, Rihanna, or whoever the fuck. It's still not going to make me do it because that's not what I care about. Like, I think great storytelling, you know, don't really need that. But, I mean, nowadays, because of the euphorias and the powers where Amari showing his booty and shit like that. So that's what we're competing against. So, and that's why, that's another reason why y'all do so well, because a lot of y'all actors, like my brother right here, Gianni, he'll show his ass and show whatever.
I go in the writer's room, I'm like, can we please show my asshole this season?
And that's why your ratings is so fucking high.
Yeah, it's my asshole.
Because you guys show, you guys show your assholes. Yeah, like, I saw some Amari scenes, and I was like, yo, this is fucking explicit.
Yeah,
this should not be on TV.
That should be crazy.
And if you look at BMF, that's not, we don't have that.
Are you sure?
So that's why, no, we don't have it like that. Because none of us are trying to do that shit. Russell Hornsby showed a little top of his back, and I was like, yo, what the fuck? I saw the episode.
Your brother
was
wilding. That I didn't even see the episode. I just heard about it. Your brother was wilding.
Yeah,
Meat
showed his dick. What are you talking
about?
Well,
that wasn't a real dick.
Well, but you still did it. But 50 had a fake dick, too. That's how that works. They don't show you real dick.
Well, Meat's is different. But for me, it's like, I'm not going to do that. But it's like, but all y'all characters do that.
No. Exclude me.
Yeah, excluding my boy Mike. Mike have the Caribbean roots, and he can't. I feel that. But, you know, Gianni is a different story. And you know what I'm saying? And then Tommy, his ass, y'all don't care. So because of that, but like, I'm telling you, if the scenes that I was supposed to do had it gone through, oh my God.
So you're saying your ass would make BMF have like two more million?
I think my ass is pretty valuable, brother.
I can get on board with that.
Oh, yo, what's up, my nigga? Yo! Whoa, yo. That's why me someone come on this shit.
What do you mean, bro?
Nah, yo, watch out. Damn, that's crazy.
Yo.
But it's linked to that.
Right.
It really is. Like, no funny shit. You know, you guys do great. Freaky, I like you guys are so great and so in sync. That's why you guys have the successful podcast and you're doing your thing. Not gonna discredit you guys actually. You guys are very talented, but sex sells. That's why every show is putting unnecessary sex stuff in there.
Right.
That's why me, I'm like, yo, I got to hustle because they looking at me like fresh meat.
Right.
Everyone's just like, yo, can he do this? They hit my agents. Can you do this? Will you do this? No, and fucking no.
Yeah, we're going to have to shoot a promo after this for the podcast. So your team already said that you would do it.
I'm going to show my balls?
Yeah.
You got me fucked up.
Can you say Manscaped to the camera one more time for us? That'll help our...
get a little extra.
Listen, I definitely feel that. Also, people will... The thing about the entertainment industry is people will start to feel...
people are freaks, man.
If they are not getting... you know, roles and shit, they'll start taking worse stuff and worse stuff and worse stuff. And then you get put in that category and then there's no coming back out of it.
Facts.
So it is super smart that you're building those businesses, because you could turn down, like, how many people are doing C, B level horror movies just to pay the bills right now when they were on a big show?
Right.
Because they're like, and then you get put in that level and then you go
away. Oh, is it right?
Right.
Yeah, you're going, like, you remember that kid, Da Vinci? Oh, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Then, so it's smart that you're doing all that, because then you can go, I could go a year or two without ever working.
Got to give yourself space to say no. Bro.
Right.
Absolutely.
Got to give yourself space to say no.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm different with that. Like.
So you really like sex scenes and stuff like
no,
that?
No, actually, don't. No, I was just being funny. I don't think anyone likes them, bro.
You'll be surprised.
I just, like, what's, it's, there's nothing
sexy about it. It's the weirdest shit ever,
I think, bro. I think some people, if they're like, infatuated by the man or the woman in the scene, like, they strangely like it.
Right, but even then, even if you find that person attractive, you're still going to set and there's a fucking sweaty sound guy, like,
I find like that this shit even right more above you. Weird.
Like, there's
right,
nothing.
Some people are freaks.
Yeah, some people that I heard.
Some people are freaks.
I hate it.
That's
worried
like
about
their fantasy doing a porn.
Yeah,
like, you'll be surprised.
That other shit, if that's the case, though.
Yeah.
I hate
that's
it.
That's like the most awkward shit ever. I barely like looking in the motherfucker's eyes.
Yeah, it's the worst. Like, yeah. You ever had Slick as a director?
Slick, yeah.
Slick, right? Yeah, during the scene, he was directing the one scene, and like, honestly, it was so bad. Like, he was just like, well, Da Vinci, like, the way you're thrusting your shoulders, it looks like you're doing push ups. And he was like, can you just like move your shoulder down? And it was just terrible.
It was
and
not
I
had specific,
them,
right?
I had them remove, and the scene was never even, it didn't even fucking make the cut.
Oh, they cut it.
That's how
86.
Bad it was. And I made sure like the girl was removed from there. And I was just like, yo, this, I was like, this is the best I can do. Like, I can't, like, my morals, it's just, the alarms is just fucking going off that my body's like, there's no way.
Right.
Mm. I can kill someone on TV. I can do whatever.
It doesn't let you. Like, your body just
my body
would
not let me. And it's just like, and I'm not afraid to say, you know what? Maybe I'm just not matured in that area. And I'll probably never be, but I don't fucking care. Mm. I don't got to do that.
I think of like, I don't look forward to it. I don't like it. But say, for example, like there's like an artsy like A24 project, like Euphoria is a little gratuitous with it sometimes, but like I will do it, and I'm not like against it, like no, like I'm it's immorally wrong, but like if it's in the story and it moves the story along and it makes sense, like I will definitely do it, but I'm not like, you know, hey, can we do like
yeah, like I wouldn't like, we're just gonna have to like edit and modify it a lot, like
if it's gonna
like,
be a lot of cuts,
he's thrusting and he da 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 and his ass is nope. We're gonna find. Can we like cheat that?
Right.
And do we really need this for the story? Right. Or can we just leave this to the audience interpretation? Right. Can I just maybe just take my shirt off and have the, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would definitely want it to be like a team back and forth. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not gonna be like, no, fuck this project if they don't allow me to do this. But I'm gonna see if I can work with them. And if they're like, no, we really want you to show your penis, then the project's not for me.
Right.
And respectfully, I'm sure I'm gonna work again. Maybe I might be on Power.
Yeah.
Right. You won't be on that show.
I wouldn't want to, honestly.
We cast great. Have you auditioned for Power actually?
No, yeah.
I never wanted to audition for Power. True story.
Are you dead?
I never auditioned for any 50 Cent project.
Why?
The only one I went for, because I don't want to be on those projects. That's my life. I'm so traumatized from that shit. To the point, like, BMF is only a true story. That's the only reason why I'm doing BMF.
Right.
Because it's like friends. Oh, fuck, I can't talk about this on camera. But yeah,
I mean,
whatever you
want, we could cut it if you don't like it.
I don't trust you that much.
If it's that crazy, then shit. If it's that crazy, then shit.
No, say it.
Just say it. We'll cut it.
but it's just like it hit too much trigger points that I worked so hard to make it out of.
Right.
So playing that again, especially if it's something that's like fictional, it's like, what the fuck I'm doing that to myself for? You know what I'm saying? But BMF again is a true story. I know the real Terry Flannery. I know what he went through. So to me, it's like, you know, I'm paying homage to him and their brothers, because the story is a fire story. I mean, African Americans are victims of being human trafficked. They were stolen from their country, brought here, and then they were dropped in Detroit. These are particular brothers at the time when Detroit was the murder capital of this country.
Right.
They had no opportunities, and they end up running one of the largest domestic drug distributions in the history of America. Their story is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
And they argued fucking 90% of the time doing it. And it's like, what if the motherfuckers had an opportunity or parents that, you know, had better jobs or whatever? These motherfuckers could have been Steve Jobs.
Right.
Like, to run some shit like that, like, when they got busted, they seized over $270 million cash.
Ooh. Cash.
And mad cocaine.
Yeah, cash.
Like, that is
million
crazy.
Cash is crazy.
Yeah. 100,000 cash look crazy.
So, no, just imagine.
Fast.
270 million.
What?
What was
how many locations
was
that shit had to be in, bro?
Right.
What was your prep for that? Did you talk with him a lot? And did you kind of do a lot of
into
your own
the
research?
Motor,
yeah, like, I talked to T. I watched American Gangster. I watched Goodfellas. I watched different projects just to, you know, get me in that mode. And I had a lot of real conversations with T. And me and T, we're actually pretty similar. I think the one thing about me and T that's very different, because in the story, a lot of times they say T had two left feet. So T can't dance, T can't roller skate, T can't do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But, excuse me, in real life, that's not me. Like, so, like when we were doing the skating scene, Meech had to skate, and Meech bust his ass to skate. But I really know how to skate, so watching it, I was just like, oh, shit. But it's like, it's certain things, bro. And then it's like, T wasn't the charismatic brother that was like cool that everyone liked. He was very straightforward about a book. But I'm like, in real life, it's like, dude, I'm in a room, like, everyone fucking with me. And you know what I'm saying? I treat everyone as an equal. I never like treat no one different on status. So that right there was kind of tough. But the show ended up bending towards how I was playing it a little more. They're still keeping the Terry essence, but it's like the Hollywood version to where he's in shape. Mm-hmm. He looked different and he got one eye, but he's.
Does he
still
like that? Because he like, they're making me look good.
Nah, I actually didn't want to look good.
No, him, I'm saying. Is he like,
Oh, yeah. He got a lot of girls in his DMs. He tell me that all the time. He's like, yo, man, you making me, you know what I'm saying? I was like, damn, that's fucking dope. But I actually love having one eye. The contact is it's very fucking uncomfortable. It's annoying as hell.
Yeah, I could imagine, bro.
It's annoying. Yeah, it's annoying as fuck. This season's is better, but it's annoying. But I kind of like being a character that wasn't known for, like, my looks, because it's just like, I realize Hollywood is, like, trying to cast me as the cute guy, and the cute guy leads to fuck scenes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, all right, brother. It's like,
we ain't doing it.
So,
you just show them what you can do acting-wise without having to do, without being the leading man, this and that, all that.
Right.
How do they do the eye? Do you go to set, do rehearsal, and then come back and put it in, or last second?
Yep. Yeah. That's usually how it is.
And then it's literally a contact that just stays, it's that way?
It's a big contact that just stayed that way. So my lens tech, L, he just, you know, he put that shit in, and then we do the scene, and then when it's not my coverage, I just take it out.
Take the shit right out, right?
But it's annoying because
putting it back in is like weird. It don't irritate your eye. No weird.
Yeah, it actually do be irritating. It's really annoying. And
that's why I barely even wear
contacts. Directors and ADs don't be understanding that.
Right.
So they'll try to. I'll have it in, and they're not thinking about it. But I don't even need it. Mm. So I'm like, yo, L, let's just pop this shit out. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just like, I literally just had a whole discussion with them about that shit on set. Like, guys, like, y'all got to work with me. And then when I have it in, I'm blind in this eye. Mm-hmm. So when you're blind in this eye, my peripheral is gone. And then when you're blind for temporary moments throughout the day, in one eye, your depth perception is off, so you don't really know how close things are. And because I don't live with it, I keep getting back to my normal eyes and going back to this. So sometimes it's like I'll hit you or not realize you're that close. And sometimes shooting in a dark set, can't see shit. And then people are moving spikes, pointers,
points.
Points. Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? Like, you know?
Maybe that's what happened with the scene where they edited it four times, where people came out of seven different rooms.
You
think that's what happened?
I'm not gonna.
Maybe the editor had those contacts in or something.
They probably mixed it up. Like,
you know what? Honestly, you got a good point, brother. That shit. I got nothing to say. You're right. That shit pissed me off. And Russell Hornsby came from the same room twice. I just feel like, you know, y'all editing team enjoy y'all show a lot more. I think you guys got a better family.
We have people who've been together for a long
time. Enjoy it because it's better.
Yeah, it is.
Well,
better.
I want to say that, but I think you guys.
It's a well-oiled machine that's been moving for 10
misery
years.
Misery loves company. So you guys have been in this miserable situation for so long that you guys kind of know how to work with each other.
We make so much money, and I work with my best friend every day. I am the happiest person alive. I want you to
know.
That.
My co-stars. I love my co-stars. I don't know how y'all feel about y'all niggas over there.
You guys get along there? Like, how? I'm dead ass curious. How's Meech on set? Is he like too cool for everyone, or is he having fun?
Don't touch me.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Don't touch me. Don't touch me.
Oh my god, I need water.
No, I'm dead curious. Like, how are you guys on set? Like, what's the vibe? Cool.
That shit is important. When you're working on a show with the fan, you know what I'm saying?
We be joking and you know, we laugh around a lot. I'm sure some days Meech feel more pressure than others, because I don't know what it's like to go from nothing to something and you develop the name, but your name that you developed is your father's name.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? To where it's like, and as a man, as a young man, like, we're all just in our 20s, and it's like, men don't really develop and become mature until your 40s, but like, as you're developing and growing, like, people are knowing you as your father, you have this weight of the show on you. Like, sometimes it'd be a lot going on with Meech, but he's wearing it well, you know. He definitely he's cool on set. On set, me and him be chilling, we be laughing with each other, you know. Everyone else on set is cool. We got a great relationship with La, with Sydney, who plays LaWanda. Yeah, shout out La. It's cool as hell, humble as shit.
You guys were dating for a little, or what happened with that?
Yeah, so that's great. And then then the 50 boys, the crew with the 50 boys. It's like cool. It's amazing. And 50 when Fifth come on set, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, when Fifth come on set, yeah, it's the best.
Yeah, it's lit. Fifth is like
50 be coming on set with that. Yeah.
Bro, he's so cool.
He directed one episode last year, and I was just like, it was I couldn't hear him half the time.
He'd be speaking, and I'd just be like, but it was so dope.
Like working with him in that capacity, and one of the dopest shit Fifth said to me, he was just like. I remember I was telling him, I'm like, yo, I'm a huge, huge fan. Like, my whole life. Like, I know your lyrics better than you. Like, right. You don't even understand. And he was like, but isn't it crazy that you're helping me take my career to the next level?
Yeah, it's wild.
And I was just like, wow. He said, man, this shit is going to be way bigger than that piece of shit power that I did. And I was like, yeah. I was like, really? He said, yeah, because it's a true story. He said, those fictional cats don't know shit. And I was like, damn, don't talk about Gianni and Mike like that.
But that's tough, man. But I
get where he was coming from. He
it's really like, crazy how, like, you know, this shit being, like, you know, like, based on a true story and all that. It just doesn't un-ass the show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It doesn't, like, make it any less ass.
I wish it looked better. You know what I mean? It's like, I know it's a true story. I just wish they did it better.
What's
your thing, Mike?
It's just like
talk to us.
I love this. I never want this to end.
Talk to me.
What do the directors be doing? They just be like, we're gonna get it from here, and then we're gonna get it from this side, and then we're gonna, you know,
we got the same directors, brother.
Nah, I don't think so.
Yeah, but every time
the only directors we got in common is Slick, and it may be Ben
and Ruben. Ruben,
I mean, not Slick. No, we didn't. That's what I meant to say. I meant to say Eve, not Slick. We got Slick. I mean, we got Eve, and we got And yeah, we got Ruben.
Listen, I'm not going to call out any director, but I will say a lot of directors that come over there to come over here, they're like, thank God we're here.
They're like,
dead ass.
Honestly, though, it don't surprise me.
But
me
and it's more of like...
No, it doesn't surprise me, honestly.
But it's just because we're a well-oiled machine. We've been doing it longer, and like there's more of like a system going. Like, it's kind of like free reign over there. So sometimes the director's like, well, like, you know what I mean? There's more restrictions, this, that.
And then on top of that, too, like, a lot of the directors that we have, they've done episodes with us already. So, like, a lot of the directors y'all got, that's like their first episode on your shit.
Right. No. Which is dope, because it don't surprise me, because I could understand you guys' bond. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact that you guys are working with each other outside of set in something like this, and, you know, making money together and doing business together, I could only imagine on set more is gelling. Because really, you know, it's attitude reflects leadership.
Yeah,
and it all comes down from that. So if you have the two, like, I just did a movie, marriage movie with Sony, and it was me and Asiana, who played Kato, which is crazy, and it's coming out in June. And it was this love story, and like, me and her was so in sync with running the set. Like, that was literally the best set I've ever been on in my life.
Right.
I love that.
Best that I've ever been on.
You want to say, and it's like, damn, this is fire.
Yeah, like we knew our shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a
different type of locked in, man.
Bro, it really is.
It's a different type of locked in. It's good for the morale. It's good for everything.
Yeah. Who's someone you really want to work with? Is there like one?
Idris Elba.
Yeah.
I don't work with Idris.
Who is someone that you worked with before and you would love to work with them again, like, in the past?
Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Fire.
I would love to work with him on a different, like, I would not want to be on a rival team where he hates me in a movie. I would rather him, like, be my friend.
Yeah. That would be fire.
Yeah. What's your favorite movie? I want to know your favorite movie and your favorite TV show.
Favorite movie is The Lion King.
Damn. Good. Wait, the remake or the original? The
original.
Yeah, okay.
Like, it's I'm a big Lion King fan. We're not talking anime. Oh, Toy Story. Fuck.
Toy Story is fire.
Dude, what are you, 12?
Toy Story is fire.
Shit, I know, but...
He's like, oh, no, Finding Nemo. I love Finding Nemo.
I love Finding Nemo, though.
Yeah, no, Finding Nemo, you're
Shark
right.
Turbo came out last year.
It would probably be... What's that fucking movie with Christian Bale, the magic movie? Prestige. The Prestige
doesn't know anything about movies.
I just watched The Prestige.
That's your favorite movie, dude?
The Prestige. You watched Prestige?
I mean, it's good, but
I've never seen it.
Prestige
movie.
Is a good fucking movie.
What is it about? Like, what is it like?
And the part it was, I don't want to, it's like these two magicians.
Oh, some magicians.
And they're like brothers, but then like you can, if you watch it, I promise you, don't listen to Gianni. you're gonna be like, oh shit, this shit is hard.
I'm gonna tune
like, it's good.
Like, listen, it's a good movie, but if you like power, you'll like it. It's not the best ever.
If you like power, trust me, you'll like it. Like, no funny shit.
Is it just your favorite actor? Like, growing up, who were the people you watched that were like, I would love to do this?
Denzel.
Yeah. Of course,
100%. Oh, I Am Legend is my, yeah. Denzel, Will, and then Idris Elba.
Nice.
I like those three dudes is like.
I think Denzel the GOAT, man.
That's where I look up to them.
Yeah.
But I don't try to mimic them. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of actors that try to act like Denzel. I'll be in a scene, I'm like, dude, who the fuck are you trying to portray right now? And I'm just like. He's like, you know what I mean?
Well, here's the thing that you touched on this before. That's how people don't work because they go into a room and there's already a Denzel, bro.
Right.
Yeah, if they want Denzel, they're getting Denzel. Right. Facts. They don't need a guy playing Denzel. So
not even his son acts like him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's just crazy. Some people are just corny as shit.
Yeah, right.
That's
so
very cool.
You said favorite shows?
You what?
You said favorite show?
Yeah, favorite shows, yeah.
My favorite show of all time.
You can say Power. It's fine. Or Book 2 or...
Yeah, you don't got to.
You don't have to. Oh, we know it's the truth. You looking at Omari's cheeks over there. You keep talking about
it. I would probably say, because I don't even watch shows like that.
Me neither, bro. I don't got that.
The last show I really watched, and I was like, yo, this is a good show, was honestly probably 13 Reasons Why. I ain't even gonna lie, the first season.
This guy knows nothing about.
No, but the thing is, like, I watch shows to where I could enter a reality. Right. I could see you on that.
Yeah.
You could have been Bryce the Rapist.
I tested.
I could see
role
you. You have the like the eyes.
I have the rapist eyes for
it. For sure.
Yeah,
that's for sure. He got a little Dr. Doofenshmirtz smile on him. I fucking see it, but I'm not like. But I like watching shows that like is pure entertainment to me. I'm entering a reality that's not mine.
It's you like shows that are at a sixth grade level is basically what you're.
Now he's
literally
like
six.
Yeah, he's like, dude, Turbo is so good.
I never watched that.
I love watching.
Well, I like it.
Cars. He's like, Cars is another
Cars,
one.
Cars, Lightning McQueen.
Yeah. Cars is fire. Cars is fire.
What?
Cars is fire,
bro.
Lightning McQueen is
but
him.
But here's the thing.
That's what's wrong with you guys.
I'm so happy I'm on Power now because I read for the Riverdales. I read for the 13 Reasons Why. Like. That shit's fun for like a season or two, and then they don't have any more story to tell, so they're doing crazy shit.
Oh yeah, yeah, but because of your hustle and how you are, if you was on 13 Reasons Why,
right?
Like, look what you're doing right now with this fucking podcast. You would probably fucking be Spider-Man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like you would like you got that hustle to where, and your audience would have been 10 times bigger.
Right.
13 Reasons Why is like. Like, that shit was an anomaly.
Right.
Yeah, that shit was ridiculous.
You think you would have been doing it? Bro, you would have had, nigga, you would have owned fucking Armani.
Right. Right.
Like, you would have been that
guy.
Yeah,
nah, it's,
like,
it's different.
Like, the numbers, like, you're, like, but I guess, you're, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck.
I appreciate
wrong with
that.
You.
I really, I mean, we fuck with each other, but, like, I really do appreciate that. Yeah. And I see the same shit in you. Like, you are a hustler and you know, like, how to move and how to do the business. Like, and that's why I definitely want to get in. You know, you should do some business stuff with the boys. You know, get on over here. I don't know what you guys are doing over there, but.
No, honestly, like, I'm down, man.
I'm
fucking down.
Let's get this
like,
money,
could,
man.
We could, bro, like, honestly.
They're going to keep printing
this
shit.
We could do, you know how, like, there's Millennium Tours and there's this and that. Like, if we went on a tour together, I'm telling you right now, and I'm not making this up, we would make at least $5 million.
Yeah. Easy.
No bullshit.
Easy.
City
because now I know, like, that I got the connects at Live Nation and all of them. Like, I understand how it works.
Right.
I'm like, well, is this easy? But the thing is, a lot
we need
of times,
to tell me
talent,
to, like, be okay with a meet and greet, though. We can't be pushing fans and be a giggle.
Yeah, I'll fight him if he do that. Okay. Like, if he say don't touch me, we just all got to whoop his ass. I just explain to him later. Right. I'll call Big Meech and be like, yeah, we just had to, nigga. He's fucking the money up.
Have you talked to him and stuff like that?
About that? Yeah. We had a conversation, and he was just, he was telling me, he was like, nah, because he told me the backstory to it and stuff like that, but he understood.
No, I didn't mean that in general. I just meant, have you talked to Big Meech and stuff
like
that?
Oh, yeah, I talked to Big Meech. Yeah. He was just like, he liked how it's going. He said, I don't know why those Power Boys are talking. Tariq don't even got a car. I swear
that
to God.
Was funny.
I swear to God.
Yeah, Meech posted it. That was hilarious.
Yeah. And it was so funny. But he likes what's going on. And it's crazy because he's a big fan of All American.
Mm-hmm.
They play that in the prisons all the time.
Damn.
So, yeah. So, they was like, he's like, man, I knew you, that football nigga. Like,
that's why you don't want to show your cheeks, bro. You don't want someone getting out of jail like that's him.
Oh, nah. Whoa. Yeah, definitely not. That too. That too for sure.
Yo.
But
What I'm actually dead curious. Like, we can cut this if you want, but I'm dead curious what Lil Meat says, like, about all of, like, the back and forth shit.
He'll,
like,
put a hit out on you, Gianni.
That's what I'm saying, but, like, that's what he yeah. gets like.
Yeah,
that's
you know what, Mike? Like, if Gianni disappeared tomorrow, we can run this podcast
I'm like,
together.
I'm like, shit. I'm like, yo, DaVinci, I need a co-host, my nigga. We gotta keep this shit afloat. Fuck it up.
And that BMF poster's for sure gonna be right here.
Hold on now, hold on.
One poster, season 3. Gianni, you keep talking. Shit. You about to disappear, nigga. You don't know. Remember, this is a true story. You coming at the wrong nigga.
Yo, DaVinci, man, this nigga put it out. Bro.
Yeah, you coming at the wrong
one. No, I'm curious. Like, keep what did he say? Float.
Nah. Honestly, we don't even talk about it. I swear to God. Like, we've never had a conversation about it. It's just like, sometimes he'll be like, yo, bro, that, like, one time y'all was trolling, and I didn't even see it, and I was in my own little world. And then I saw Mike say, look, your brother's busy out here being a pretty boy, not even working. So
yeah, I'm like, oh, shit.
So now I had to throw something out there, but I was just like, oh, fuck. And then he reached out to me. He said, yo, bro, you're not going to help me? So then that's what made me jump. I was like, you got to fuck up my sponsorship, man. I got a Capital One deal right now.
Oh, yeah. That's
I got a Capital One deal with a bank right now. Like,
I'm trying to keep it cool.
Like, God damn, because they're going to really think we beat it, because I be going places. They'll be like, yo, so y'all really don't fuck with the Power Boys? I'm like, dude, I fucking follow them.
Like,
I'm just like, nah, we love each other, man.
The people sometimes are like,
we just trolling.
I'm like, yeah, we're just having fun. Like, it helps.
And it literally only makes y'all tune into us even more, into the shows and everything. So,
yeah,
I know what it is already.
This episode is going to go crazy. We're going to get some fan questions. We'll get you out of here.
Yo, the fan question is about to go crazy. I already know.
But yeah, but I don't think
you audition for like Sesame Street or something where you had it.
I would audition for Sesame Street, the remake.
He was on it.
That's just fire. Sesame Street.
You was on Sesame Street.
Yeah, that was like one of the first things I've ever done. I was playing the drums on that bitch. That shit was lit.
Oh, you fucking lit.
Okay, first one from Jabri Auburn said, what's your favorite part about being an actor?
It's so much. That's a tough question.
I love the fact that I get to learn about lives that wasn't mine, and it makes me use both hemispheres of my brain, which makes me a smarter human.
Right.
Because I'm tapping into realities that I never experienced.
Right.
So it's like I think when you're an actor, it's kind of a cheat code to life.
Right.
It literally
like
is.
We're living, we're like a cat. We live nine lives.
It literally is.
We're living multiple lives in one life. Right. So it just makes our discernment like fucking crazy.
Right. Mm-hmm. You could do it like, you could just switch it on. It's like code switching. Like,
right.
You could walk in a room and be
facts.
A businessman. You could walk in a room and be a gangster.
And because we read for a living, it's like you could be in a meeting or something with someone. You could like really read their body language, like, and they're not acting.
Yeah.
So someone like, I'm like, this nigga don't like me. I'm like, okay.
Yep.
Or this person is just like, I'm watching his eyes. Or I'm watching how he's cutting eyes at my shorty. Oh, shit. Right. I think he want my, you know what I'm saying? Or like little things. And it's like, because we read for a living. We're breaking down characters.
I say that all the
script. So we're unfair.
I can see everyone's, even like any movement. I'm like, I read this person. I know exactly.
See right through him, motherfucker.
Right. Exactly.
Hell,
that shit is a special power, bro.
Yeah, that shit is a different type of superpower.
I feel like the rest of them we kind of really already answered, but this is like one I want to know.
Okay, how does playing a character, how does playing a real life character differ from playing a fiction, and which do you prefer?
Fictional character is sometimes, I think it's better because I get to make that up, but real life, I'm like, I'm confined in a certain space to where it's like, I can't do something that's outside of this character's character in real life.
You want to be respectful, you know what I'm saying? You want to be respectful, you want to pay homage to the person before change.
Exactly. So that shit's kind
of
tough.
It's tough balancing, like, bringing yourself to it and then, like, staying in the lines of that
full
person.
Fact.
Yeah.
Full fact. Really know how that
goes.
Just tough.
Hell yeah.
What do you got coming up next? Are you, so you're shooting BMF right now, but you got a movie coming out in June? And
yep, I got a Real Love is coming out in June. It's two movies that I was filming that in Vancouver. And then,
you said it's two.
I've been hitting the comedy theaters, man. I'm hosting it for fun and then like having like a little segment, 10, 15 minutes doing material and then making people laugh. And it's been like going well. So I'm like trying to just dive into that more and explore that because it's just like, you know, why not? And
I know, I see all the 70-year-old women screaming your name. I'm like, damn.
Nah, they're not 70, brother. I was one of the first ones to have so many millennials at their shows, because our generation in the 20s, we don't go to comedy shows.
They don't go
shows.
To comedy, right. Yeah, I was just about to
so
say.
So usually comedy shows is actually only 70-year-olds. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's a lot harder. So my audience, they be hackling the shit out of me. So I got to be quick on my feet and play off of they little shade that they're throwing while I'm doing my material.
Bro, I did stand up for 2 years. There's nothing.
You did it?
Yeah, well, yeah, I did stand up for 2 years.
Respect, bro. You're a fucking hustler.
But I wasn't what
Are your parents foreigners?
No.
Where are you from?
From Rhode Island, yeah.
Oh, that's why I ain't got shit over there.
I had to make it out.
We just did a host in there. It was fire. It's coming up next week, but this will come out after. So we had such a good time. But there's nothing like I didn't do that where you went to like sold out shows and shit like that.
Right.
I was doing open mics. I was at 1-2 in the morning to 8 people in an audience like wanting to kill myself. I did that for 2 years.
It's fucking tough. Right. I opened up for Chris Spencer and I was 8 minutes and 36 seconds.
And you're like,
and it was a real comedy crowd, like 40, 50, 60, and they're just listening to every word. Mm. And they started chuckling and laughing. And after I got off, Chris Spencer ran in the back. He was like, yo, kid. Keep doing this.
Bro,
you just started.
Y'all got it, bro. Making like, a crowd of people laugh is hard, bro.
It's tough. They say the fear, two of the biggest human fears is the fear of public speaking and the fear of death. Mm-hmm. So comedy obviously falls under that category, but then you're trying to make them laugh.
Yeah.
Bro, that's just fucking tough.
It's different when
you're talking. I wanted to kill myself the first time I went on stage.
It's hard, bro. But once you conquer it, like I felt like I conquered it, and I don't like stand up because I don't like telling. Like, I get bored telling the same story and using the same material. Like, it just gets a little boring to me.
Right.
There's an art to making it better every time you tell it. That's the fun part in it. But just, like, it just gets boring for me, like, telling the same story and doing it all over again. So once I felt like I conquered doing it and I wasn't nervous anymore and I was like that, I'm like, okay, I can move on now. But it was more for my acting.
Yeah, you got a lot of balls, bro.
Yeah, that's different. You get up on that stage talking in front of people that are scared.
That's
bro.
What's up. Yeah, y'all gonna be all right in this business, honestly.
Bro, we gotta do. Right. I've already been talking to Mike about this. Like, we're working on getting like doing our own shows and our own movies made with our production company. But like, we gotta do something with all of us together, like our own movie. Right. Where everyone would tune into that.
Like Four Brothers.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like something like that.
Brothers remake.
We should remake Four Brothers. Like,
and
you, we could Mike and
we could just do it. We could do a short for 10 minutes. Put it on YouTube. See what it does.
Bro, then, we should do that.
After that,
it's so funny.
After that,
like, it would be so funny. We don't talk about it. And they're going to, because them seeing us in the room, it's like,
what the fuck are these niggas doing together? Like, like, what are they doing together?
Right,
like,
they're going to be rolling. Yeah, we're just talking about something completely different. Yeah. That would be crazy.
That would be so funny. We should remake Four Brothers.
Nah, the boys got some
really
shit
to do that.
But for real, though, we're trying to get movies made, do all that stuff. Like, all of us together, like, we're a force to be reckoned with.
Absolutely.
Like, I just
we're the whole network.
Right.
Literally.
Right.
You guys are number one. I'll give it yeah.
Right.
But we're the whole network.
Thank you, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
It took him an hour and 10 minutes of a podcast to finally admit it.
But we got it out of him.
No,
yeah.
But for real.
You guys are number one for now.
I do want to say, like, I respect your work so much. Like, you are a hustler. And, I like, every time we have a conversation, I'm like, I really fucking like that dude. Like,
I appreciate
you're not, like, you're not shady. You're not, like, a sneaky person. Like, you're a good dude. And I do want to say, like, through all the bullshit that we do on social media to have fun, like, you are a fucking good dude and you're hustling and you're gonna do so well. Like, you've only been in this business how long? Like, look how well you're already doing. It's just gonna keep going, bro.
He thought he was too old to get in this bitch. He was
I'm 21
and a woman. Nah, nigga.
Facts. Yeah.
You're in this bitch going crazy, man.
But all right, plug what you got coming up. This is probably going to come out because we're doing recaps right now. So this will probably come out a month. So plug if you got some dates coming up. If not, we'll throw it on the Crew Has It page.
Bet
for
that.
You.
So I got a movie coming out next month, I believe, June. Just look for Real Love and Strength of a Woman, Mary J's movie with Sony that she's doing. And then do got a comedy show May 19th, May 20th on the Stardome. And also I'm going to be going on like a comedy tour. And I'll get the tour dates set and locked in. And it may be one day, you know what I'm saying, I'll pay you guys as a special guest.
You guys pop
out. Nah, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do our live podcasts. We're going to start doing live podcasts. And maybe we'll have you.
That's genius.
Yeah.
B. Simone did that in Atlanta.
Yeah.
She sold out in 2 days, bro.
Yeah,
she made 200K.
Ooh, we're going to do some live podcast stuff. So maybe we'll have you come out and like dance for us for 5 minutes. And then
well, I mean, my rate is pretty high. I don't know if you got to afford me.
What is it? Like 1,500? We got that.
1,500. He said, y'all can't afford me.
Remember, that's a minute. 1,500 a minute.
I said a second, homie.
That's a minute.
What's your Instagram for the people who don't follow you? Well, I'm just saying for the people who don't follow you, what's your Instagram?
It's how he fucking says it. He's a motherfucker. You're good. You'll be a good-ass publicist. You guys know my fucking Instagram. It's Da Vinci.
Da Vinci.
Da Vinci Jam.
What is it? D-E-V-E-N-C-H-E?
No, I think I want you to spell it.
D-A-V-I-N-C-H-I? Da Vinci?
Vinci.
Appreciate you.
The boy's working, man. Shows, movies on the way. Listen, man, we keeping the ball rolling. Like we said, bro, as actors, we got to find ways to keep everything rolling and keep everything in motion. And that's what we're doing. The boys is working hard. We being productive, man. None of that bullshit y'all think we doing, man. You know?
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all having me on this. Yeah.
Appreciate you coming up,
and
bro.
And I respect y'all hustle. I've been watching you for a minute. You've been killing this shit.
My brother, I appreciate
it. I just
that,
found
bro.
Out who this motherfucker was. And it's just like... And
pretty cool, right?
I fuck with you.
That's a Rolex.
Oh, the Mary J. The Mary J. Blige shirt?
Yeah, the Mary J. Blige. That's too.
That's dope.
Did you get one of these? Oh, 50 didn't give you one. It's because you won't show your cheeks in a show. But 50 gave us all the people who really bring in the viewership to the network. You guys can zoom in.
I have one. We have one.
Where is it?
I just don't wear it. I'm not a fucking cornball. I look like we're in a fucking traffic light. When we fucking
it's green light gang, baby.
Well, you can have that.
Busting.
Yeah. So fuck that chain. No, I'm playing. No, I actually don't have one.
I'm literally gonna cut that. I'm gonna make them cut that. And be like, fuck 50.
Like, yo, Vinci, man.
Yeah, 50 would fucking kill
you. Podcast
oh my
shit,
god.
Man.
Nah, yeah. I actually don't have one.
Yeah, it's
but
crazy.
we got a real relationship. It come from the heart.
Yeah. Come on, man. Get the boy green light, right. The green light gang chamber.
Yeah. Where's 22 Vlogs? Make sure you subscribe. The boys got hostings coming up because we're booked and busy while Da Vinci's sitting on the couch. But we got some hostings coming up. We'll keep you guys stay tuned with that. Gianni V Pillow, TikTok, Instagram, Mike. Where's
22 on Instagram, Michael Rangel on Instagram. Follow the boy. Doing cool stuff. The boys is moving, man. This is what we do. We just keeping everything in motion, bro. It's like, it's just what we do, man.
We got some crazy guests for you guys. We're starting to go out of the Power Universe a little bit, and we're starting bringing on some new people. So we're excited.
Shit about to get serious. Shit getting interesting, man.
Give us one mic.
Listen, man, the crew has it, baby. Shout out my boy Da Vinci pulling up on the guys, man.
The crew has it, and you have it. Thank you for coming on, Da Vinci.